Well, this might be the last time we hear this song for a long, long time. A long time.
Black armbands today.
Yep. The bar scene, the patio scene, the peelers are done at midnight tonight. So
that's tough.
Yep. Everything's going backwards in Toronto anyway. And I guess throughout the province for that matter. And I think those are appropriate measures. You know, we're into the second wave or whichever way you want to define it. And the numbers are up and safety comes first. But, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad. The weather's still very nice. A beautiful day out today.
Yeah, I agree. I've got the kids out in the pool right now. They're enjoying themselves. It's a beautiful day. But the, you know, all I could think about is it shuts down at 12:01 tonight, right? Like, is there some goon that is like, I'm going out till midnight?
Oh, he'll be there. He'll get dragged out of there at midnight.
He's there now, and he's putting in a shift.
He left work early. He's like, you know what? Sorry, I got to put 8 hours in. I thought I was going to get 8 hours leaving at 6 o'clock and going till, you know, 2, 3 in the morning. Now it's shut down at 12:01. I will be leaving at 3:30 so I can be there at 4.
Yeah, yeah. 8 hour shift beginning at 4.
What was the order yesterday? A 12 pack with 3 shots of whiskey?
Oh, yeah.
That will be ordered at 11:15. And good night, Irene. Just to put a bow on the evening.
How many times, I'm sure everyone's done this, where you know closing's coming and you're like, okay, I'll have 20 Ryan Cokes. Like, you
That's
know, 50,
disgusting.
Last
That's
call. Just... You're like, give me 20 Ryan Cokes. They're like, you're not going to be able to drink that in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You've never seen the look on bartenders' faces when guys get the green light after a big win on the road and it's around closing time and 6 guys go up to the bar and they say, can we have 75 vodka waters, please? And they're dead serious, and that's exactly their order, and the bartender just doesn't know what to do, and then they don't believe you until the credit card gets flopped down.
Exactly. They'll run it up, but they're not going to let you get through them all. I mean, everyone's been in that position where you're like, well, I still have 30 drinks left, and they're like, I don't care. You're the idiot that ordered it 5 minutes ago. You got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to leave. Like, well, I paid for it. Okay, well, good for you.
Doesn't matter. It's closing time.
It's closing time. You're leaving right now. And at midnight tonight, I can't even imagine what the scene is going to look like down Young, down King. Just people coming out of there.
They'll come in with the fire extinguishers and just blast people out of there.
Yeah, you got to get out of here right now.
Yeah, you leave right
now.
Well, I know they're ripping down or closing down the peels, but is like all bars are done?
No, they're open, but now it's last calls at 11 and no food being served, I believe, after midnight. And I guess they're just kind of trying to get people to shut it down a little bit earlier. They're trying to have it both ways, right? You don't want to shut down businesses. You want to allow people to stay open and hopefully at least break even, maybe be profitable. I'm not sure. I mean, I think a lot of people are struggling, and everyone's aware of that. But also, you got to try to keep it as safe as possible, and you don't want more outbreaks. And the numbers are what they are. So that's what we're dealing with in the real world. And I was out in the real world today, and I noticed that the whole Halloween thing is starting to percolate a little bit.
Dude, there's going to be no Halloween. There's not going to be a Halloween.
I think there'll be. There's going to be. Sorry to interrupt. Oh, I think there'll be a form of it.
Dude, you of all people, I know you, and I know you take this stuff seriously.
I
do not want people. Yeah, and you do not want people coming to your house. And quite frankly, neither do I. I don't. Like, for years and years, it was an awful thing, and I was single at the time. But I would shut my lights off, and there's no candy, there's no nothing. And I would go down to the basement, and that's it. It's game over.
You're allowed to do that, though. People still do that now. I mean,
it's
an option. No one's forced to partake in Halloween.
Like, I know, but like, how do you have Halloween right now? Social distancing and people going to other people's houses? I just don't think it can happen. I hate to be the Grinch of Halloween. I don't see it happening.
Let me paint a picture here. Each individual family goes out like we usually do, right? You go to the house, and it's not about handing out. You've got to find a way to get the candy to the kids. Once the candy gets home, you hose it down like we've been washing our groceries and doing whatever to be mindful of some of the things that could be on packages. And that's, you know, Bob's your uncle.
That might be like the play. It's like you can get it, but it's got to stay in the garage for 3 days. And then after that, we know that the science would tell us still not going to be alive if there's any virus. It's just crazy that this is even part of the world, but it is, okay. And it has been for a long time.
Do a treasure hunt in your backyard for your kids. Let them find the candy with the costume on, and there's your Halloween.
Yeah, something's going to have to give here. Like, we all have young kids. Like, I'm not telling my five-year-old or soon-to-be five-year-old that Halloween is canceled. That's not going to happen, but it's on me to get creative. It's not on the rest of society to do it for me. No. And for my kids, you know, well, hopefully we can figure something out, and we're still a ways away. But the consumer in me and in us all, we're all still going to get sucked in. Like, I'm telling you, man, they're still going to sell the candy. Everyone's going to be buying the pumpkins, and it's not like that part of it is going to die off. Like, it's out there. People are buying it right now. And well, I know I'm going to be. I know we'll be decorating the house and the coffee crisp.
The coffee crisp was a bad take. It's a not know, a bad like candy it. Bar. It's just not the Gretzky plus MJ plus Tiger. Sorry.
Yeah, it is. I hate it's to break it to you. But.
It is very good, but I don't think it's a first rounder. I don't think it's a first overall pick.
No,
that's the thing.
It's a third overall D-man that plays 20 years in the show and is solid. That's it.
So it's Chris Phillips is what you're telling me.
You think Coffee Rick, Chris? 1,400. It's a big rig.
Number retired. Games. Number retired. Yeah. Big rig.
It's not a bad career. It's not a bust. I mean, no one can argue that Coffee Crisp is a bust if it's a Chris Phillips. I tend to disagree. I think it's Lindros in 91. I think it's Sid in 05. I think it's McDavid in 15. I think this time of year, like it's – I don't eat Coffee Crisp any other time of the year but around Halloween. But when I do, you mix it in with a coffee – and it's the best thing going. A coffee with a Coffee Crisp in the fall. It's Gretzky plus Tiger plus Brady plus Ali
it's
plus
a little,
MJ.
I struggled. I sent a response to you, and I was struggling with, like, I was going to go, like, Federer, Ali, and I'm like, God, I can't think. I'm, like, Googling best athletes ever.
Yeah, who's the greatest cricket player of all time?
Yeah, Messi. I was going to write, you know, Ronaldo. Like, I was like, to hell with that. I'm just going to do a line in hockey and at least stay in my wheelhouse.
Right.
But, you know, Big Turk is a very controversial.
Oh, it's a terrible bar.
No, it's not. Me and Noodles, awful. It's Datsuk, what it is. It's a late round
pick. No, it's Justin Pogge is what it is. It's Justin Pogge.
Someone would keep it over to
Garask, which would be
like a garbage take. It's a garbage take. It's like a juju covered in chocolate. How do you not like that?
Because that's a bad mixture, dude. Like, it's just a bad mixture. It's the Rangers in the early 2000s. Lots of talent there, but it never works. You know, that should never be put together.
Listen, it is fantastic. The score bar.
Love the score bar. I'm on board with that. Yeah.
And I snuck one in there, the O. Henry peanut butter version.
And O. Henry is
very quality.
Just gorgeous.
Very
gorgeous.
Quality.
But that's a Peg Bundy choice. You know, that's the – I didn't really know the existence of that. But when I opened the junk drawer and saw that, I was like, all right, Peg Bundy.
Well, she's a Scotty Bowman type. She's got an eye for talent. She always has when it comes to that game, right? When it comes to – chocolate and chips and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's another topic that we could come up with that could lead to more of a polarizing reaction than chocolate bar takes. Like, everyone's got them. And people either love or hate chocolate bars. Like, no one's in the middle. Like, every once in a while I'd buy that. It's just, I love it and I will eat it. And everyone's got like seven or eight brands that they're into. Yeah. And then there's seven or eight that they wouldn't eat if they were going to the chair. You know, they'd be like, I'm just not going to do it.
I'll tell you that one that people hate that I thought was a second-round pick that has a 10-year career, and that's an Eatmore. And Eatmore is good. Yes.
It's a buyout candidate early in his career.
Eatmore is it's
a good, tough. It's a good
bar. See, for me, Cherry Blossom is that.
Never heard of that either.
Okay, good, because I think it's gone. Like,
well,
I used
there's
to
your answer there, Noodles. There's your answer.
You're right. 47 years old. You had one when you were four at a variety store.
No, let me paint a picture for you. Cherry Blossom used to come in a box, like in an actual box with like, and it's chocolate.
Like Smarties almost.
Yeah, but a square box because it's just a glob of chocolate with cherries and sauce inside
Awful.
The chocolate.
Awful.
It's terrible.
Doesn't even have a Hockey DB page. That's
yeah, exactly. Like, the Hockey News can't find it right now. It's that bad. But Eatmore, see, aesthetically, it's tough. That's the problem that I struggle with when you're eating an Eatmore.
Right.
Not only the texture, just the look of it. You unwrap that, you've seen that before.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's padded down manure and but delicious.
To look at. Yeah, it's tough.
Delicious.
Well,
it's
I tough. Think the visual has to factor into whether or not you like something.
Well, yeah, it's like someone grabbed a cow dung, and you know how they flatten out a chicken parm breast? They flatten it out, and go ahead, have at it, and it's delicious.
What a marketing campaign. I'll bet you they'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
We picked this up on the side of a farm.
Run over on the road, a back road.
But the O-Dog likes it, and so does Noodles, so you should really try it.
Hashtag smell it, hashtag eat it.
Right.
Yeah. Eat more.
Well, what do you think the Jays were up to post-game at Buffalo last night? We were wondering what the party would be like in the bubble in Edmonton, down in Orlando. What do you do in Buffalo when I guess you're allowed to hit the town?
Like, no, wouldn't they be smart enough not to hit the town? I mean, they probably had some kind of hospitality room. And, like, if they hit the town, then it's everywhere. They're like, these guys are supposed to be, you know, doing their thing, not being out in public, going to bars. And then the whole team goes to a bar, Brian. Come on, give your head a shake. It didn't happen.
It might have happened, but you hope it didn't. And good on them. I hope that they woke up hungover today if they drank and
well,
had
they
a great
did
time
last night. I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just that's the tradition, man. You punch your ticket. A lot of these guys, they're barely in the league, right? They haven't made the playoffs. Kevin Biggio and Bichette and Vladdy and
Al's brother,
who had another big hit last night. Alejandro Kirk is in the playoffs in a week. Like, and Charlie Montoya, I'll bet you got after last night. Did you see how happy he was when they punched out that final out? And that's a good story. I mean, he's a lifer. He's had to grind to get here. He's had his detractors. I think he's had a pretty good year keeping things together. They've had a lot of hurdles. I think his disposition is perfect for a young team that's had to deal with a lot of ups and downs. I think in a lot of ways he just does what the front office tells him to do. You know, we've had those discussions with a number of people around the team. He gets the marching orders. This is the lineup. This is the pitching rotation. This is how we're going to work the bullpen. And he goes out and does it and orchestrates it. But he was jacked up last night.
I'll tell you what. I thought Jerry Sanchez hit that. I thought it was gone.
I know. I was like, that's a grand slam.
As soon as he hit it, I'm like, in that ballpark, that is out. And I think it was 4-1 at the time. That would have put the Yankees ahead. That would have been gross.
Deflating last night. And how about Ryu going 7? He gets into the 7th, his last start of the regular season, the first Jays starter since last August to pitch into the 7th inning, which is just an astonishing stat. Like, I know they didn't play a conventional season, so it's a little bit misleading. But no one in September – and no one through the first 57 games of this year.
Tell you what, he's the real deal, man. He struggled, I think, his first couple starts, but he's dialed in. And he said after the game, I want to win here. That's why I came. And that was the whole deal about that game. And I knew it was important, and we got the win.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the comments.
It's reasonable to say, and it's not a hot take or anything, if he's not here, if they did not sign him, they probably aren't going to the playoffs. Right.
Agreed.
Like the rest of the staff has been holding on for dear life. Who knows how they replace him if he's not here? You know, who they sign, who they acquire via trade. But, you know, it goes 9-3 on the season, 2.69 ERA. That's MVP stuff for this team. And that's ace-like stuff. You know, he may not be your conventional horse that is going to give you 7 or 8 innings every time he's out. He's not Gerrit Cole. You know, he's not Verlander when he's healthy, not Scherzer. But those numbers, those are ace-like numbers, and he's on the mound on Tuesday. So, it looks like they're going to play Tampa, and Tampa's a very good team, and Tampa's given them a tough time over the years, as we know. But they're familiar with Tampa, and I think they'll be underdogs, which they deserve to be, but I don't think it's impossible to believe they can get past them. And I think with Ryu on the mound in Game 1, you have to feel somewhat confident.
Yeah,
right? Games 2
Bucks
and 3, I don't know.
Last
but
night, you have Ryu go lights out Game 1, and then you get a split. You win a series.
Exactly. Yeah,
if you
get up 1-0, and it's almost imperative that they do. He's got to win Game 1. You get up 1-0, you know.
Anything can happen.
Exactly. You got to squeeze out one more. The bats get hot. Who knows?
People keep saying, it's 2020. Anything can happen. And honestly, that saying has legitimately come true, obviously in the real world, but in sports. People keep, you know, look at this. Look at this guy. It's 2020. Anything can happen. And
right.
And you know what? Get into the game, see what happens. If maybe Al's brother is all of a sudden a folk hero here.
Al's brother.
Knocking dingers. Although
Al's brother
still,
Kirk is a guy we have respect for. Al's brother, on the other hand, is costing people money on this show.
Yeah, we're going to take his sweater away from him.
He chirped me, too. I sent him a text, and I'm like, what is this garbage? And he's like, whatever, cat guy. I'm just like, what? That's what he texts me.
Good for him. Well, I've noticed.
Whatever, you were picking something other, whatever, cat guy. And then I never heard feathers from the guy. I'm just like, what a clown.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when Al's brother beats me in a bet, I hear from him texting at midnight, 12:30, sweet nothings. Oh, that one stung. Yeah, I know, Al's brother. I watched. And I know you picked the opposite team. Good for you. Good pick.
Yeah.
Nothing. I didn't hear from him on Monday night when he was on the Saints. I didn't hear him last night when he was on the Jags. Just crickets from old Al's brother. Whenever he picks a loser, he's Floyd Mayweather. You don't hear a word from Al's brother when he picks a loser. But when he picks a winner, calling your house,
Twitter, and
sending you emails. Oh, yeah.
You can take his information and write it down and put it on the ground in Tim Hortons in Alberta. And then the wall squat and do something, because it's garbage.
Wasn't that
it's garbage.
In BC?
I'm not.
It was in BC. Let's get our facts straight on the wall
squat.
Okay,
whatever. That's what his information is to me. I'll put it on a piece of paper and slide it on the floor under that, because it's just, I don't know if I can listen to it anymore. He's so convincing, too. He had me at the blitz and had Minshew's good against the blitz and this yardage and that yardage. I'm like, you got me. It's the biggest pitch ever, and I bought into it.
It was empty calories. He
was
just making things up. Those stats probably weren't even true. And this Minshew looked exactly like
you would expect he went on a tanky team.
Yeah, a guy with a mustache and just out to lunch.
He looked like a guy that should be replaced by Trevor Lawrence next year. That's the plan down in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But credit to Fitzmagic, man. He went off last night, and I got to believe Tua, like, he can't get on the field next week now. And maybe that was the plan anyway, to push Tua back later in the season or even into next year. But Fitzpatrick just keeps doing it, man. He's an older statesman, and he just goes out there and wins and puts up numbers.
Where are you guys at with this guy's chest hair? Like this,
it's outrageous. I love it.
He looked
the
like
Hawaiian
Austin
shirt
Powers
and everything. He looked great last night.
But he doesn't care. But he obviously knows. Like, I'm going to do an interview. I'm going to put a Hawaiian shirt on, and I'm going to have it undone down to my belly button, and I'm going to have chest hair just blasting out into the camera.
You know how he gets away with that? Because he's a Harvard grad. That's why. Harvard, the Ivy League, you know, the arrogance that comes out of it, the obnoxiousness. Even if you look like that, or you're just basically look like a party animal that's about to hit a cruise and you're on your way to, you know, Cuba for the weekend or whatever. But because he's a Harvard grad, it's all good. You know, it's all good.
Guy, smart guy, you know, like. But he is playing it up. But good on him. Listen, you play well, you can do that type of stuff. It's
that's the truth.
It comes back to bite you when, you know, you play like Minshew. You can't walk out there and with the hairy chest and the shirt wide open and look somebody in the eyes and say, I played very well.
Not generally. And the truth is, when Fitzpatrick starts to fall off, and he might at some point, I think that's when Tua steps in. And he probably knows it. You know, he's holding on maybe the last year of his career. Maybe he gets one more. But Peter King coming up at 5:05, so we'll get his take on when Tua goes in, if he does it all this year. Start looking ahead to a couple of big games this weekend with the Sunday nighter, Packers at Saints. Saints a favorite, I think, by 3 or 3.5. I'm trying to figure out how that works. I mean, the Packers are 2-0 and have been lighting teams up. So we'll see what Peter can tell us about that, and we'll start teeing up the Monday nighter with him. Game 4 of the Cup Final tonight, no Stamkos, but we'll tee that up. Some news and notes out of the NHL today.
Yes.
A signing in Montreal, a buyout in Ottawa. We'll get into that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Steve Phillips here in just a moment. You can see Conor McGregor announcing on Twitter that he's boxing Manny Pacquiao at some point in the Middle East.
I thought he was retired. Like, this guy retires once a month, and then he comes out of retirement or he does something stupid. Like,
How many times has he been arrested, too?
He may not. Didn't he get in some trouble recently?
Yeah, he did. He did, somewhere in France, I believe. And that's the thing. It's always a distraction. Like, he gets in trouble in his personal life or something goes on, and then all of a sudden I'm fighting. You know, I'm going to be doing this. And
well, because he's got to raise a bunch of money to pay for it. That's really what it is.
And he would make a fortune, I would think. I mean, I don't know what the promotion would be with that, but those are two big names. I don't know what that fight would look like. But Pacquiao, like, I thought Pacquiao retired 5 years ago.
I'm not even watching that one. That's... No,
well, Pacquiao, isn't he the singer? Isn't he a singer?
Well, he does sing, and it's just horrendous. But he was in like Parliament over in the Philippines. Like,
oh, really?
I always thought that's what he was going to do, is run for, you know, president or prime minister or whatever.
Yeah.
In his home country, but I don't know where that stands. You know, I haven't been following him enough lately.
Well,
like, he's been kind
he?
Of out of sight, out of mind. He's got to be in
my
his
age,
45 or something now. You know,
wow.
Because remember when he fought Mayweather was too late, and that would have been 6 years ago now. You know, 5 years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago.
He's 41. He's 41, and
41.
I just read
wow.
that he is a senator in the Philippines.
Okay, so he
senator
still holds
of
that
the Philippines.
Role.
So I don't know if that's like Sir Brian Hayes or Sir Nick Faldo, but he is a senator of the Philippines. That's what I'm reading on his Wikipedia.
Okay. Yeah,
page.
I knew he was in government over there in some capacity. I didn't know if he still held that seat, but
yeah,
his singing career. Like, he is a rock star in the Philippines, needless to say, but... Let's grab some of his tracks, Mullen. We'll play some Manny later.
Because
I think it's kind of like a slow song kind of thing,
like
right?
He's like a soft voice. Like, that's late when the Jays were partying because they made the playoffs last night. Maybe a song from Manny Pacquiao came on at the end of the night to let everyone know. Like, he sent them all to bed at 4
right,
o'clock
it's
in
over,
the morning
boys.
With a soft song.
Yeah, like, you've been going a little bit too hard. We're going to play some Manny, and everyone needs to shut it down. Because we do have a ball game tonight. You know, they're back in action tonight against Baltimore. And to chat about it, we're joined now by TSN baseball analyst Steve Phillips. How about them Jays, Steve? What do you make of this?
How about that? I mean, I tell you what, it's the resiliency that this team has shown. I mean, we talked about, they got bludgeoned by the Yankees last week, or, you know, a little over a week ago, and with 19 home runs in 3 games. And for them to turn it around and to be able to come back, take 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, and it really does show they're able to let go of losses in a really special way. And so, you know, I don't know what this playoff run is going to look like. I mean, they don't feel like a World Series team. I don't know that they'll win a series in the postseason, but it is such a learning opportunity for them that will pay dividends at some point down the road. And they have shown themselves to be a special group of young players. There's no question about it.
So they punched their ticket last night, Steve. We were just talking about this. The way things are, you know, social distancing, those boys wanted to probably get after it. You got to go down there and tell them nobody's leaving the hotel room, or how was last night managed after punching your ticket for that excited group?
Yeah, I think that you know, you've got to, you know, it's you got to just keep reminding them that we've got to continue the protocols. We've got to do the right thing. We've got to get through this. There will be time for the celebration, and it's, you know, they look like they're having fun with the team pictures and those sorts of things, but, you know, they know you know, what they've done has worked to this point to keep everybody healthy. They want that, and look, the good news is that you know, they're all tested on a regular basis. The likelihood is that they're all healthy anyways, but, you know, you've got to protect against any spread in case somebody gets contracted to it. So I think but you have to manage it. There's no question about that, because you cannot let this get in the way of what has been a special season and a postseason run, and mess up all of baseball while you do it.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. So the Jays are off to the playoffs. They have 3 more games. Technically, they can catch the Yankees. It's unlikely. They're likely going to be the second wild card team and likely play Tampa. Again, nothing yet defined, but it feels like that's where we're going. Jays, Tampa. These two teams have a history. Obviously, it favors Tampa, you know, when it comes to wins and losses, and ultimately that's all that matters. But how do you feel about the matchup based on the familiarity, based on the fact that these two teams know each other so well, and 1 through 3, the staff in Tampa is going to be better than the Jays 1 through 3, but you do have Ryu going game 1. And he's pitching like an ace, you know, 2.69 ERA, 9-3 on the season. How do you feel about that matchup if it actually ends up happening come next Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, look, on paper, it's not a great matchup. But this, you know, this is a tournament, and it's not the best team that wins. It's the team that plays the best. And I think that's the message from Charlie Montoya. And the other thing is, they've never played that game all season long. They just keep saying, we can win. We can win. I mean, Bova Chef's been saying all year, we think we can win. So we're just going to go out there and we're going to win. They don't worry about who it is on the other side. And if they did, they would have been intimidated by the Yankees. When they got just absolutely clobbered by the Yankees and then they played them again, they would have, you know, tucked their tails between their legs and taken another beating. And they didn't do that. They just came out and played. And so, you know, on paper, they don't match up. You know, in the short series, no off days. Starting pitchers matter a lot. You know, the Rays are three deep. The Jays have, it feels like they better win the Ryu game, because if they don't, they're in some trouble. And, you know, Tampa Bay, you think, okay, who's their best position player? And it's really hard to figure out. I mean, you know, Brandon Lau is pretty good, but they don't really have stars. What they do, you know, their modus operandi when it comes to position players is that they never put a below-average player on the field. And what they do, they take an average, you know, a slightly above-average player and put him in a situation where he's better than that. You know, facing a guy who pitches down in the zone, where I'm a guy who hits down in the zone, or I'm a guy who hits the ball up in the zone, and I only face those guys up in the zone, or I can only hit left-handed pitching, so I don't play against the right-handed pitching. And so where I'm slightly above average overall, I'm more than that because of the matchup that you put me in and the situation that you apply my talents in. And Kevin Cash does a really good job with that. Now, the Jays have, the reality is, they have more star power on the 8 seed than the Rays have on the 1 seed. I mean, look, Blake Snell's a star in Glasnow. But, I mean, Bichette and Guerrero, when it comes to position players, have more star power than anybody on Tampa Bay. They're going to have to rely upon individual young stars having big moments and big games to be able to beat the Rays, because the Rays are methodical. The Rays don't make the errors. How about this? The Blue Jays have allowed 42 unearned runs this year. 42 of the errors that they've made, and they're not being able to, you know, shut it down after that. The Rays have given up 18 unearned runs this year. They're methodical. They're fundamental. They're organized. They do all the little things. But the Jays have more overall raw talent, and that will be the trick, is can they just make good plays and make plays when they need to, the Jays, in order to win the game and let their talent prevail.
Steve, we have a new favorite player on the Jays. Can you guess, take a wild guess on who it is?
Seriously, I can't take my eyes off the guy. I mean,
how are they going to handle that situation, the catcher situation? Kirk is, he's a big league player. How are they going to handle it?
Just ask him where he wants to hit in the lineup and put him in. I mean, right. he has to be in the lineup. Whether he catches or whether he DHs, I think you put him in the lineup and you ride it out. I mean, here's it's hard to have a long swing with short arms, right? I mean, you know, guys.
I was going to ask you, Steve. Like, did you ever think you would put eyes on a specimen like that and say, "I got to have you in my lineup"?
That's a rather broad use of the word specimen, right there. I think that I never in my life. Ever. And honestly, when he got to first base, I thought Luke Voit was going to pat him on the head and just say, "You're so cute. You know, it's so fun. You're fun. Hey, buddy." But he's serious about it. He takes himself seriously, but not too seriously. The players love him. His teammates love him. And what it is we like guys who are different, and he's different. Look, he can hit. He doesn't strike out a lot. The Chapman at bat yesterday was really funny. That Chapman was, you know, going at him. And yet this kid can play. And it is the nature of baseball where it doesn't matter what you look like. If you can do the toughest thing of all of sports, and that is put a round bat on a round ball and hit it squarely, then you know what? You've got a chance to make it no matter what you're built like, what you look like. And this kid can do it.
Yep, he certainly can.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was going to follow up with. Like, when you first come up, a lot of times your adrenaline, you know, carries you through. The league doesn't know you. There's not really a book on you. Do you think that he's like a, you know, a 10 or 12-year guy, or is this kind of a guy who's kind of caught lightning in a bottle and caught the league by surprise a little bit? Does he have all the mechanics as a player that you see as a 10-year guy that could be in the league, or is it kind of, hey, this is a novelty thing, let's see how long it lasts?
Yeah, his approach at the plate is that of a veteran. You know, the idea that, you know, he recognizes ball from strike, fastball from breaking ball, and he's not afraid to hit with two strikes. He can put the ball in play. He can battle off tough pitches. And that approach is one that has legs, that can give him some longevity. You know, defensively, how it plays out is going to be interesting. And how much power does he end up having? Because if he's exclusively a DH, right, if he grows himself out of the position, then you know, he doesn't have speed. In fact, I think his speed is deceiving. He's slower than he looks. But I think he's going to have to really hit and to be able to do that for a long time. And what does the power become? It remains to be seen. He's never played higher than A-ball, and he's 21. And so it's really hard to know what the ceiling is going to be. I mean, physically, it's kind of what you see is what you get, because you're not going to turn that into a 6'2", 200-pound, lanky, loose guy. He is what he is. But where I get lost sometimes is guys who look so much differently than everybody else. There's a reason why they don't make it. So Aaron Judge is a great player, and he looks different than everybody else. And he does some special things, but his body doesn't seem to handle it very well. He's always got something wrong with him. And so there aren't a lot of guys built like this, and so we don't have a lot to go on as to see what longevity can look like. But his approach is one that should work for a long period of time.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, Jays punching their ticket to the playoffs. They're back in action against Baltimore. 3 more games left in the regular season. Playoffs beginning next Tuesday. So, you know, we wondered how the Jays would respond playing the Yankees again, a 4-game series after the massacre a week ago in the Bronx. And they responded wonderfully well. And I think Vladdy is a microcosm of the overall team. He went 9-for-15 in the series, 3 doubles, a home run, 1 walk, no Ks. He's only struck out once in his last 12 games. He's starting to make a lot of contact, and he's finding some holes, adding some power, adding some slugging. You know, it's a small, small sample size, but are you seeing something different out of Vladdy? Is he coming alive?
You know, I'm actually going to stop short of buying in on it right now because I want to. But, you know, some of the hits, one was the fly ball that Hicks misplayed. The other was the C&I ground ball down the line. The other one was they had a little bit of a shift down and he hit it up the middle. Now he's finding hits and he's putting it in play. And look, maybe he was owed some good fortune. Maybe he was owed some ball, because he hits a lot of balls hard just on the ground. You see him sometimes try to hunt the fastball on the first pitch, and it looks like he's trying to swing out of his shoes and hit it out of the ballpark, right? You've seen some of those swings. He's really pulling off the ball when he does that. It almost looks like he's trying to generate launch angle that way. And maybe he is, and it's okay, because I think he needs to think about that launch angle. What I really do think, though, is that we have seen Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the big moments elevate himself. Think about the home run derby. Like, he was on a stage. And when you go back to that World Series or the All-Star break in last year, he hit the home run derby and what he did putting on the show. I almost look at the playoffs like that for him. Like, this is the platform that he's going, you know, enough of this stuff. I'm just going to go show you guys what I can do. And I think that the heartbeat of Biggio and Bichette and Vlad Jr. and even Lourdes Gurriel is going to be slower than a normal young player. Because, you know, they've seen their parents go through, their dads go through it. They've seen them sort of play. They've gone through all of that, and they're not going to make the moment too big. And so I think Vladdy could erupt right now. I'm not buying all in that his approach has dramatically changed. I think he's had some good fortune and good. Maybe he deserves it. But I still think he's going to fulfill that potential down the road. We forget he's still just 21 years old. How about this? He's younger than Alejandro Kirk.
Right. Yep. So he's not as athletic, though, and he's, he's got it. Maybe he's inspired by Kirk. Who knows?
How about the fact that he's not as athletic is, again, like, wait, did we just say that out loud?
I think I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
Before we get you out of here, Steve, I sent a text to Brian last night, and I asked him, if Aroldis Chapman threw him 100 pitches, do you think you could make contact, get barrel on ball? And he said, yes, I could make contact. Is that not the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life? Seriously, 100 yeah. pitches, do you think he makes contact once? The answer,
I got
it's no. The
tip
answer is no.
I can bunt. Wow. I'll bunt 100 times.
Dude, the way you worded it last night, you said you would get a base
contact.
Hit or something.
No, I didn't say base hit. I said contact.
Now you would foul one back.
That guy can bring it, man.
I would foul one back. Go ahead, Steve.
So I think you could file one back, but I don't think you could put one in play.
Yeah, put one in play might be a stretch, but maybe he hits me in the head. That's all that matters. I get on.
Honestly don't think you come even close to the baseball. Not even close, man. He throws 100 miles an hour.
Dude, I went to the
fine.
The one thing I know, you do not want to charge the mound on him.
No.
Have you seen those pythons on his arms?
Yeah.
You do not ever want to charge the mound on Aroldis Chapman because he is as jacked up as any Major League Baseball player, position player, or pitcher, or otherwise. He is a monster.
Yeah, I would not do that.
Al Kirk's eyeballs were fairly large when he was facing him. He was just like, this is nothing like I'm used to.
I'm not in high A ball anymore. I'm facing the real deal. Well, we'll see what happens this weekend, but we got playoff baseball to talk about in Toronto, and we'll do it early next week. Thank you, Steve.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. Contact, dude.
No,
contact.
Dude, no. Yeah. Dude, I used to say the same thing. My guy was Randy Johnson. You give me 100 pitches. My original thought was I could hit one out. 100 pitches, I could hit one out.
I mean, the problem is I'm a lefty, Pearson. So I'm going lefty on lefty. That's a disadvantage. But
dude, when's the last time you played baseball, Brian?
When I was 13.
That's right. You're almost 40 years old, dude. You haven't swung a baseball bat in 20 years.
It's natural. Dude, it's like riding a bike. You put me in the cage.
You'd hurt your back.
Some of the best major leaguers in the game look stupid, and you haven't played since you're 13. You're going to go up there and make contact.
100 pitches? You give me 100. By the time I get to 70, I'll have figured them out a little bit, and I'll have 30 pitches to make contact. I'll look at 70. I'll fan at 70, and then I'll button down the hatches.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, it's not happening. He's gonna throw gas 100.
Okay, what about 1,000? 1,000.
Yeah, you get one. He'd be throwing one, and you'd still be swinging at the previous one, and you'd accidentally hit it by it.
I guarantee you, any Major League Baseball, like the next time we get Dallas Braden or somebody on, I'll ask them. I've asked guys that I know that play ball, and they were like, you wouldn't touch it, man. Randy Johnson, you're not coming close.
Give me 1,000 pitches, and they're not all fastballs. You'd have to mix in a slider.
That's worse for you.
Sit on a slider, a hanging
slider.
Did
you see your boy Alejandro last night? He couldn't come close to that slider.
You've never faced him before, dude.
You haven't played baseball since you're 13.
You give me 1,000 pitches. I sit on a hanging pitcher by pitch 750, he's going to leave a matzo ball over the plate, and not only will I make contact, I'll probably find a gap, probably extra bases.
you run like a gazelle, drugs, too, so all of a sudden you'll steal a
It'll
base.
It'll be a triple.
Yeah. It'll be a double that turns into a triple.
I guarantee a triple. If I find a gap, it's a triple. I guarantee, because they'd have to be.
Huh? I don't know. Do we know any, I know former baseball players. I don't know anybody in the majors right now
is there a pitcher around Toronto? Because I'll go to Christy Pitts and I'll go behind the plate.
Go. I'll be there.
Okay. Who's there?
I don't even care
if this guy's 58 years old and retired. I want someone to hurl some smoke and watch you make an ass of yourself.
Fine.
I remember going to batting practice one time in St. Louis, and pitchers can make it look they're gonna hit you straight in the face with the ball, and then it just turns away at the last second.
And this guy thinks he's gonna sit on a slider from Aroldis Chapman.
I'm somebody who stood in the way of 90, 100 mile an hour fastballs or pucks coming my way, and I've got a pitcher throwing it at me, and I'm like, is this gonna turn away? And I'm like, I'm gonna get hit by the ball, and then it drops at the last second. Like, these guys are so amazing. And so talented.
And Chapman's at the top of the billing. I mean,
right.
He throws it 100, and his slider falls off the table. But as long as I have a helmet on, I need the Barry Bonds arm brace every day of the week.
You're a joke.
Give me 1,000.
You're Gary Dickey. You could hit off of Dickey because Dickey has those little muffins.
Oh, Dickey
like,
for
muffins.
Sure. Dickey throws he throws a knuckleball. Every once in a while, they don't knuckle. He's throwing 70 down the middle, dude. That thing, forget gap. That's going in the third deck.
Now, have you ever taken
This guy hits a golf ball 204 yards with a driver, but all of a sudden he's going yard in baseball.
That's
just magical power shows. Yeah.
That's my 4-iron, dude. Not with a driver. That's with a buttercut four iron around the tree. It's going 204. All right. Who's coming up here? Peter King at 505. Esteemed journalist. One of my own.
Get a pitcher, Christy Pitts.
Yeah, fine. We will. It has to be Christy Pitts, too.
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays guy, or the Blue Jays that play at Christy Pitts. Aren't they called the Blue Jays, too?
Yeah, they are, but I don't know if they're playing. Because
we'll find a pitcher in Toronto that can throw gas.
All right, someone send us a note. Someone that can hit at least 85 on a gun.
Yeah, you know. Someone get 85 on a gun, and we're meeting at Christy Pitts, and I'll have the catching mask on, and I will laugh my ass off.
Done.
Yeah, okay, all done. Right. I'm there.
Fine. Let's go. All right, Peter King coming up. Coley Hackeville in the 6 p.m. hour. Some big hockey news out there, too. We'll tell you about that. We'll start teeing up game four of the Cup Final as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Got my guy. AJ Wideman. Guys, I'm a Toronto-born 35-year-old retired minor leaguer who threw 86 to 90 at his best. I would dummy Hayes right now throwing 80. You're hired, AJ Christy Pitts. We are going to be in touch.
It says his wife grew up with Steph, too. So okay. He's like, my wife grew up with Steph. She can confirm I played.
All right. There we'll know if you played or not based on the smoke you're allegedly going to throw.
Allegedly. <Okay. laughs>
But if he only hits 80, dude, I'm going to launch one into Lake Ontario. From Christy Pitts, I might hit the island. I'm going to hit a plane flying off the island. Right. 80 just isn't going to cut it.
You bring a wood bat.
I have to.
What about an aluminum one?
No.
The friction alone on an aluminum, if he hits, you know, 80 plus, it's going to hurt. Also, if I make contact, that thing is actually going to launch.
Okay, Hayes, we're teeing it next Wednesday. Next Thursday, we'll meet at Christy Pitts at 10 a.m.
We can't have this guy injured. He's going to swing twice and then throw his back out.
Dude, you have no idea how badly this guy's going to whiff. I can't catch, by the way. I close my eyes before impact, and I'm a wuss.
What an athlete you are. I close my eyes when someone throws the
ball.
I
have never been able to catch. That's the one position in sports. I can play any other position in any sport. But
that's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard anybody say on the show. I close my eyes before the ball gets thrown out.
And I'm afraid it's going to come off and hit me in the head, hit me in the pills. I can't catch. I can't be a catcher. I flinch every time.
So what are you going to bring? You're going to be shagging balls?
Catcher. I'm going to stand behind the cage and laugh at you. Fine, I'll catch.
No, you don't have to. I don't need you distracting me. You know, like if I'm going to be in the zone, maybe we need to find a catcher too. We need a battery.
I used to be a good catcher.
We'll get AJ and we'll get a catch. Well, Noodles, bring your goalie equipment and stand behind the plate.
Noodles' back hurts too much.
That crouch, like the knees and all of that. Like
we
I
are
get
old
down
and
there.
Pathetic, aren't
like,
we?
I'll get down there. How many pitches do I have to get down there for?
100.
I can get in there.
You're not like, sitting for 100.
Let's say he throws you 30 or 40 pitches.
I could get there for 30 or 40. You know,
next Thursday, 10 o'clock, Christy Pitts.
No, I don't think I'll do next week.
Why? Why?
Because I got other things going on next week.
What? No, you don't do anything.
I've got
moving and shaking.
I've got plans. But this, I'm telling you, dude, I'm in.
This is the same conversation you had when you were being a hero at the gym, in the basketball gym, where you were like, that guy wanted to bully you out. And you're like, no, I was making it rain at one end.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I own that end. And he wanted,
okay,
they wanted
not
to play
this
full
Thursday,
court and...
not this Thursday, the next Thursday, Christy Pitts, 10 o'clock in the morning, AJ be there, bring a catcher,
well,
and we're on.
We'll connect, we'll get the grappler to connect.
No,
this guy's
going
to need to warm his arm up.
You're going
to
put it off, and you're going to
be a
jerk about
it. I got
it. Yeah.
Well, we got to get things in order, dude. We got to get a bat.
This
guy's got to warm up his arm. He can't just hit 80 out of nowhere. He probably hasn't done anything for 10 years.
Grappler. Well, he's 35 years old. He's not like he's not my age. He's 35.
DM the guy, Graps, and ask for not this Thursday coming, the Thursday after, 10 o'clock at Christy Pitts, and then it's on.
Well, we got to check
the
weather,
cage,
too.
I got to start warming up. I haven't swung a bat in a long time.
No kidding. It's a joke.
Okay. All right. We'll work on the details on that.
Yeah.
Get it going, Graps, because I want to watch it. I want to watch it.
I'll show up and watch, and if you need a catcher, I'll be there. But I'll be the guy with the mask on, standing in the corner, just staring at you guys. But
yeah, you're not coming within 20 feet of anybody. There's no way.
Hazmat suit.
I'll sit in the stands, and I'll cheer you on, Hayes. I'll cheer you.
I haven't been to Christie Pits in probably 20 years.
I don't know where the hell that is. Where is Christie Pits?
It's kind of
Danforth area.
No, it's on the other side. I think it's just south of like U of T. I don't know. I haven't been there in so long. You know, we reference Christie Pits all the time, but we'll figure it out. All right, the wheels are in motion here. All right, Peter King in the next hour. Bobby Ryan bought out in Ottawa. Jeff Petrie with an extension in Montreal. Game 4 of the Cup Final. We'll get into that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.